would, turn your Bibles with me to Hebrews. I'm going to read the first four verses here in just a few moments, and then I'll be also going to Matthew chapter 8 and Matthew chapter 9. Again, we love you and are so appreciative of every single one of you here today. Let's have a prayer for God's word. Father God, as we just get into the time of your spoken word, may there be an awesome anointing, God, upon every word that is spoken. I pray that our hearts are ready to receive. And Father, as we've prayed many times before today and today as well, touch lives. Father, there are those that need to be ministered today. All of us need to be ministered to. But Father, Lord, I know there's a special work that you want to do. So may that be able to take place here in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm just going to jump right into a church, if that's okay, because I just really feel God wants to do something in your lives today, and I don't want to rush the service. I don't want to rush your prayer time. I want to give you ample opportunity just to spend time seeking the face of Jesus Christ. I'm going to continue on with our December series, is What a Beautiful Name. For those that were with us Wednesday, we had a bonus round, and we're going to do the same for this upcoming Wednesday. So if you can be here, I invite you to be a part of that as well. But this morning, I'm just going to continue on with that thought, What a Beautiful Name. In Psalm 96, in the very first week, we read a passage out of that. In verse 8, it says, "Ascribe to the Lord the glory, do his name." I pray that in this season, that you, each and every day, ascribe to the Lord the glory that is due his name. And as this season passes and you enter into a brand new year, I pray not a day goes by that you not fail to give the glory to the Lord in which is due his name. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, we added this last week where it says, Paul speaking to the church, says, "Therefore God elevated him to the place of highest honor," talking about Jesus Christ, "gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to glory God the Father." Now I know there's a prophetic statement in that as well, because not everybody does that right now, but there will be a future time that comes when the authority of Jesus Christ will be given in such a manner that people will have no choice in doing so. But why wait until that moment? Why not have that intimate relationship where you can call upon Jesus Christ, your Lord and your Savior? We know, church, there's absolutely no other name like the name of Jesus. I want to first here this morning, I want to take you to Hebrews. Let's go there just for a few moments here. Hebrews chapter 1, excuse me, in verse number 1. It says this, "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, the days which you and I live in, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs." Now, the entire book of Hebrews, it emphasizes Jesus being superiorly unmatched in every way, from the person of Jesus to his ministry and to the life that he offers to every single one of us. Now, if you look closely at verse number 4, there are two words that are used, that have been used, much superior and more excellent. In the Greek, the first one is kriton, meaning best or better. More excellent, it is diaphoros, which means more excellent and surpassing. So again, much like last week, if you were with us from the passage that we read in Colossians, a clear outline is given to help you and I see the unmatched beauty, wonder, and power of his name. Now, I'm not going to preach all of these here this morning, but let me just show you, because again, very much like last week, you see this outline here. And just in these first four verses, there's so much given in the unmatch of Jesus being unmatched in every way. Number one, Jesus, the Son, is heir of all things. Number two, through Jesus, the scripture tells us, all things were created. Jesus is the brilliant shine of God's glory, verse number 3. Also in verse number 3, Jesus is the exact representation of God's character. We talked a lot about that last week from Colossians. Also here in verse 3, Jesus holds all creation together through the power of his word. Jesus became the ultimate sacrifice for all of our sins. The 7th one, Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father upon the eternal throne. And the last one I see in this outline is that Jesus and his name is exalted above the greatest of all angels. Just in those brief 4 verses in the opening statement of Hebrews, Jesus, not only a beautiful and a wonderful name, but also, just like we sang about moments ago, a powerful name, a name that is unmatched in every single way. Today, I have one focus, and that is this: to encourage you to put your mind 100% on the power that you find in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, we see his beauty. Yes, we see his wonder. And yes, we stand in awe of that incredible name. But this morning, as I take you here, I want you to see the power that is in his name. For here's what I believe this morning. Somebody's life today in this church needs to be touched by the power of Jesus Christ. I come this morning knowing in my heart that no matter who it is, if you will yield to God, God wants to touch your life today. Somebody here today, I believe, is not in a relationship with Jesus Christ. You are lost, and today is the day in which you can be found. Every single person here today, here in this message, if you will believe and call upon the name of Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, you will go from being lost to being found in the name of Jesus. Amen? And there's no reason why any of us should leave this place not having Jesus Christ being our Lord and our Savior. I also believe in my spirit that today somebody is hurting, and today is a day in which you can be healed as you call upon the precious name of Jesus Christ. I also believe that there is somebody here that's on an island by themselves. You feel a little bit alone. You are here. You're in the presence of many people. You're here in the presence of your brothers and sisters. But to be very honest and transparent, you're sitting there and you feel like you're on an island all by yourself. And I need to tell you this morning, as your pastor, Jesus has not forgot you and he has not forsaken you. And just as much as we're focusing on him during this season, he is focusing in on you. And if you will open up yourself to him today, he will show you that you are not alone in the power of Jesus' name. I believe that this morning. I believe today there are individuals here that you have been broken for way too long. And perhaps even the year of 2018 has not been the best year for you, and you're just broken. And I believe if you will just reach out to Jesus, he'll put you all back together and he will restore you. I can tell you, there have been many times in my personal life where I literally felt like I was broken into just 1,000 or if not 1,000,000 pieces. And I called upon the name of the Lord, and just piece by piece, he begins to put it all back together. I believe that can happen here today if you will call upon his name. I also believe not just one, not just two, but there are many. I believe that there are many that are running on empty. And when I say that, you're running on empty spiritually, emotionally, and even physically. And today, I believe, is a day that if you'll call upon the powerful name of Jesus Christ through the power of his Holy Spirit within you, he will refuel your life. He will refuel your spiritual life and your emotions and even your physical body. I believe today here in the service with us that somebody is wrestling with their identity. And today, if you'll call upon the name of Jesus Christ, you will discover who you are in Christ. And when you discover who you are in Christ, you will discover who you truly are. When you discover who your Father, your Creator, your Lord and Savior, Jesus, is created to be, it's going to help you in so many ways. And I pray if you'll call upon his name today, you will find that. I also believe there are those here today, perhaps you're a little bit numb and you're just a little bit cold. And again, today you need the Holy Spirit to rekindle that fire within your life. There's also those today, perhaps, that are just, you're angry and you're frustrated and you don't even know why. Now, some of you know why. Some of you are just angry. Some of you live to be angry, and I pray God delivers you from that. I don't know who that is. I don't have anybody in mind, all right? Sometimes it's me. Don't point, all right? Especially on the front row, all right? Anyway, I know you can be pointing at me at times. You know, that happens in our lives. But I believe in my heart. I just believe as I was praying this week, there are going to be those here that are just, there's an anger inside of you, and you don't even know why you're angry. You're just frustrated. You got a short fuse. Your words, your conversations, your driving, everything. You know, some of you have a short fuse anyway when you're driving, but it's just a little bit excel, you know, right now. And I believe if you'll call upon the powerful name of Jesus, he's going to reach down and give you a peace in your life and a peace in your mind, a calm in your mind, and he's going to help you. I believe there are those here today that perhaps are even in a state of rebellion. And today you just need to call upon the name of Jesus and ask him to open your eyes if that's you. Say, God, open my... Now, that's not an easy prayer to pray, right? Some of these prayers aren't going to be easy to pray today. I'm not trying to make it easy today. I'm just trying to give you Jesus. You and him are going to have to work it out how easy it is, all right? That's between you and him. That's not between me and you. But I believe if you'll call out to the Lord and be honest with yourself, he'll open your eyes and he'll help you see the deceptive and destructive trap that Satan has you in. I believe there are, hopefully, maybe all of us, but I wrote down here, somebody's probably just hungry to worship God and to receive all that he has to offer. And I pray that's all of us, that today we'll call upon his name, we'll exalt him, and we'll embrace him. Before we leave this place, we'll say to ourselves, okay, I gave it my all today. God gave his all. Every time that we walk in these doors, God gives us his all. And today, may we walk out saying, I gave my all today, as I gave my attention, my heart, and my worship to Jesus Christ. Church, where I'm getting at is, God knows where you're at today. We can try as hard as we want to appear to be something else, but God knows where we're at. He knows our mind, our emotions, our heart, and I believe God will minister to us if we'll allow him to do it. So again, not just a beautiful name, not just a wonderful name, but a powerful name. And when we go back to those statements that have been written there by the unknown author in Hebrews, we see that, wow, there is power in his name. I want to take you to a couple of chapters back over into the Gospel of Matthew. I'm not going to read the entire chapters. I highly encourage you to do that this week when you have some time. You can really even understand more so of where I was going. But Matthew chapter 8 and chapter 9, and I'll give you quite a bit of it, but we're going to continue to see how Jesus has the unmatched authority over all these different things in life. And you'll see where I'm going as we kind of get to the end of this. First one, let's just jump right in. The first one is he has the unmatched authority over sickness. Right out the gate there in Matthew chapter 8, we see some powerful stories. I'll take you just a little bit here. In chapter 8, verse 2, it says, "And behold, a leper came to him, knelt before him, saying, 'Lord, if you will, you can make me clean.' And then it says, the scripture says, Jesus, he stretches out his hand and he touched him, saying, 'I will, be clean.' And I love the very next phrase, 'And immediately his leprosy was cleansed.' In the power of Jesus' name, this man's leprosy was gone." Amen. Donna, thank you for that report she gave me right before I came up to the front. We've been praying for her, battling cancer. They, at the beginning, kind of thought it's all throughout. She just got one small spot right now. We believe that God's going to take care of that one small spot. Amen. Amen. Today, let it immediately be gone today. Chapter 8, verse 13, the story there, if you go and read it, you're going to see the centurion who has a servant. And he said, "Jesus, if you'll just speak the word, my servant will be healed." And there was great faith in that story. And so Jesus speaks back to him. He says, "Go, let it be done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed at that very moment. Church, I don't know about you. I may challenge you a little bit right now. But I believe somebody today can be healed at this very hour. I believe that, right? Come on, if we believe in the word of God, I believe that Jesus can heal at any moment. I don't always understand it. I don't always know how it's unfold. And you and I are real good about putting our safety net out there. But let's just step out with a bunch of faith today and say, you know what? Somebody can be healed today in the name of Jesus Christ. He can heal your body. He can heal your mind. He can heal your emotions. Jesus can heal because he has authority to do so. In the name of Jesus. Matthew chapter 8, verse 14, Jesus enters Peter's house. He saw his mother-in-law lying sick with a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her. She rose and she began to serve him. That evening they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and he healed all who were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and he bore our diseases. Some people don't want to believe in that prophecy. I believe that prophecy is very much alive today, that in the power of Jesus' name, you can be healed. We trust him. Pastor, how do we go about that? We believe, we pray, we give glory to the Lord, and we let him take it from there. Amen. Today, if you need to call upon the powerful name of Jesus to receive your healing, I'm going to encourage you to do so. The second thing is we continue to unfold these chapters. Chapter 8, verse 23. Jesus has power over nature. Just a few weeks ago, I was in this very text because this is where they got into the boat to cross the lake. It's where the storm came upon them. And we see that Jesus stills a storm as he speaks a word over nature. And if you'll remember, even the title of the message was "A Great Calm." This passage right here speaks of that. There's a great calm. So nature in itself, in its powerful, unpredictable, and uncontrollable in its ways, and how much even the respect that we have of, and even sometimes we step back and we see the power of a tornado or the power of a hurricane or the power of a raging flood, and we can be in awe of those things, but nature in all of its power and glory and majesty and everything that makes up itself, he is still the creator, and he just speaks a word and he can control nature. Now, I spent a little bit of time on that last week because it always makes me think, if he can speak a word and nature itself has to obey that word, what can he do in our own lives and the atmosphere around? Can I say that again? I know I focused on that last week, but if you're in a crazy atmosphere in your life at home right now, just speak the name of Jesus and allow him to speak the word over your home that needs to bring calm to your lives. He has the authority and the power to do so. We continue on and we see in verses 28, now that he has authority, power over demons themselves. As the scripture tells us on multiple occasions that Jesus would deliver people as he would cast out the demons. Matthew chapter 8, verse 28 says, and when he had came to the other side, to the country of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men met him, coming out of the tombs, so fierce that no one could pass that way. Behold, they cried out, what have you to do with us, O Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before time? Now a herd of many pigs were feeding at a distance, and the demons begged him, saying, if you cast us out, send us into that herd of pigs. And he said to them, go. So they came out, and they went into the pigs, and behold, the whole herd rushed down the steep bank and into the sea, and they drowned in the waters. Now, there's powerful things within all of these, so that's why I really encourage you to go back and look at these for yourself. But when you and I look at the demonic forces, we know they're evil, and we know they're filled with chaos and hatred and vengeance and destruction and death. And the power of influence and torment over one's life, I believe that's very much real. But in all of its darkness, in all of its evil, in all of its chaos, demonic power has absolutely zero authority over the name of Jesus. Our scripture even tells us that at the mention of his name, demons have to do what? They've got to flee, right? Now, I know this probably goes to an area where a lot of people in today's culture don't want to go because it seems like a movie. It seems like something that maybe is just kind of made up. But church, I got to be honest with you, and I know it's Christmas, and this may not sound like a very warm and cozy Christmas thing to say, but I believe in the demonic power around us. I believe the prince of this airways is Satan himself. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe Jesus is the creator of all things. And I believe Jesus is the name above all names. And I believe he came as a baby in a manger. He was born of a miraculous virgin birth. And I believe he died on a cross. And I believe he was resurrected from the grave. And I believe that he is at the right hand of God right now, interceding on our behalf. And as much as I believe in all that power and authority of Jesus, I also believe in demonic warfare and darkness and chaos. And I understand that that demonic warfare is working against you and I. Yeah. And it never takes a break. Yeah. It doesn't put up Christmas lights and sing joy to the world and say, let's take a break for a month. Matter of fact, it probably intensifies during moments like these. I mentioned it Wednesday. Say Deacon Joe kind of has a nice ring to it. Deacon Joe. We were talking about, we wonder how much the enemy uses the redundancy of Christmas to work against the believers instead of believers really embracing it for what it means. Because this entire season is about what? Overcoming Satan's plan to destroy humanity. Amen. The whole story is leading up to the gospel of how you and I can be delivered from Satan's hands and Satan's grasp and his destructive forces. And church, I believe, I know he's after you. He's after your mind. He's after your home. He's after your relationships. He is after you. Now, as Christians and believers, you got to know the Holy Spirit lives within you, so he doesn't live within you. And at the name of Jesus, he has to flee. So if you're in a moment in your life right now where you feel like the darkness is pretty heavy, I'd be speaking the name of Jesus as much as I possibly could. Because at the name of Jesus Christ, Satan has to tuck tail and run. Every demonic force has to go along with him. Even when you really get fired up in the name of Jesus, all hell trembles because there's power in the name of Jesus Christ. There's power in that, authority in that. And as believers, this culture better wake up to that or we're going to lose the culture behind us. Yeah. Amen. There's power in the name of Jesus, power to cast out any demonic force any demonic influence. You're here this morning and you had been having conversations of how you feel Satan is just after you and he's attacking you and he's after your family. Well, today's one of those mornings where I wouldn't leave this place till I felt like I've touched the very throne room of God and I spoke the name of Jesus over my life and over my circumstances. Amen. Let me move on here as we continue to go on. You get into Matthew chapter 9. Of course, we know this well. It's already been spoken here this morning, but let's look very specifically. Jesus has authority and power over sin and to forgive us. Matthew chapter 9, in this particular instance, it says, "And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven.' And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, 'This man is blaspheming.' But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, 'Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins.' He then said to the paralytic, 'Rise, pick up your bed, and go home.' And he arose and he went home. And when the crowd saw it, they were afraid, but they also glorified God. And they were saying to themselves, 'Who has given this man such authority?'" Such authority. Isn't that why Jesus came as a baby in a manger? So he could become the perfect sacrifice, so that you and I could be forgiven of our sins. Church family, I don't know about you. I need forgiven of my sins. I know this old boy from Aldro, born in a hospital, Sparks Hospital in Fort Smith, Arkansas. I'm not a Razorback. They rushed me quickly back to the Oklahoma side. Praise God. Amen. Brother Rick Elliott. Hey, Arkansas is helping with your kids, so go Razorbacks. All right. I told my kids, whatever university wants to pay for your college, I'll wear the colors. All right. Amen. This old boy was born a sinner. We were all born sinners. I felt like, I'm really getting after the first service this morning, because I was telling them, it does not matter what kind of good old boy and a good old gal you are. Because if you're not a good old boy or a good old gal who's accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that goodness isn't good enough to get you into heaven. You got to know Jesus. I thank God for my heritage. I had a Grandma Lee. Man, she could pray. She could pray and she could bake cookies. Something interesting about my Grandma Lee, she's passed on long ago now. She could bake like crazy and she wanted to feed you at every moment. But then she was also very good at telling you if you ever gained weight. I mean, every time you saw her, "Oh, Steve, you put on a little bit of weight. You feed me all these cookies." And I'm like, "Grandma, have you looked in the mirror?" Okay, anyway. She could pray. But no matter how much my grandma prayed for all of her family, our salvation wasn't based on hers. Did you know you can come to church every week? You can tithe, you can give. You can even take up that position of being the team leader on the greeting for this service. And you can serve and do all these things. But if you've never called upon the powerful name of Jesus to forgive you of your sins and become in an intimate relationship with him, then you're not forgiven. Your forgiveness comes when you believe and you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you know what? I hope I'm a good old boy. There's probably moments I'm an ornery old boy. I hope I'm a good old boy. But I want to be a saved good old boy. Amen. I want to be a forgiven good old boy. I want to know Jesus, not based. I'm so thankful for my heritage. But I want my relationship with Jesus. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, obviously, but how many of us are living off the coattails of our spouse? When Jesus didn't just go to the cross for your spouse, he went to the cross for you. So when you come to that age of accountability, it's up to you to call upon that powerful name of Jesus. And when you call upon the name of Jesus and you ask him for his forgiveness, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive you for all of your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Amen? And I just wonder today, who in here today has yet, in a genuine way, called upon the name of Jesus and ask him for forgiveness and ask him to be your Lord and Savior? Because in my heart, I believe there's somebody here today. Today's your day of salvation. I don't have the authority to do that. The church doesn't have the authority to do that. Grandma doesn't have the authority to do that. Your spouse doesn't have the authority to do that. The only one that has the authority to put you in a right relationship with God is the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Let me give you one more here as we continue on. Matthew chapter 9, verse 18. He also has power over death itself, for Jesus makes us alive. Matthew chapter 9, verse 18. Very interesting and literal story here. While he was saying these things to them, behold, a ruler came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live." Boy, there's a lot of faith in that statement. Jesus rose and followed him with his disciples, and behold, a woman who had suffered from a discharge of blood. We kind of shift the story here for a moment as he's on his way. There's a woman who has a discharge of blood for 12 years. She came up behind him. She touched the fringe of his garment, for she said to herself, "If I can only touch his garment, I'll be made well." Man, look at the faith. Look at the faith in these two chapters. Man, there's so much faith. Verse 22, Jesus turned, seeing her, and he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well. Jesus is good at multitasking. So if you think that your need is too big or too large or there's too much stuff going on his way to heal a young girl, to bring her back to life, he heals this woman who has had this issue for many years of her life. And then it says in verse 23, and when Jesus came to the ruler's house and he saw the flute players in the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for this girl is not dead, but she's sleeping." And notice what happened here. There's always going to be that crowd. Oh, they laughed. They didn't believe what was going on. They scoffed. How many would look into us today and say, "Really? You really believe in the power and name of Jesus has the authority to do all of that and what you're talking about today? You better believe it." That's why we've gathered today. But when the crowd had been put aside, he went in, he took her by the hand, and the girl arose, and the report of this went through all that district. That makes us think of what was the Paul spoke in Corinthians. Corinthians chapter 15, verse 54, he writes, "When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is law, but thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Now, there's two thoughts there. The girl was literally brought back to life physically. And if the Lord so desires to do so today, do I believe that that can happen? Absolutely. Have I been in a memorial service where that has happened yet? No. Would that be crazy cool to see something like that happen? To see the response of everybody in the sanctuary? That would be a phenomenal moment. Okay. If the Lord so desired, so be it. But not only can he literally bring the dead back to life, just as he did Lazarus, we also see in Scripture what's dead inside of us, he brings back to life. And that's really where the Apostle Paul was going with his in Corinthians. And so death, where's your victory? Where's your sting? There is not one, because you know why? In the power of Jesus' name, he even has authority over death. Physical, literally, and spiritual. He has the power over death itself. What I wanted you to see this morning is in this message and in these Gospels, chapter 8, chapter 9, the opening verses of Hebrews, I really want you to focus in on the power of Jesus' name. Because in his name, your circumstance can change. In his name, no matter what it is that's stacked against you, Matthew chapter 8 and chapter 9 stacked the wall against us incredibly high and incredibly thick. When you see everything that is talked about in those two chapters, life is stacked against you. But in the power of Jesus' name, no matter what it is, you have the authority in the name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit to allow him to speak in and through your life, and that stack, that wall, whatever we want to call it, it has to come crashing down, because in the name of Jesus, nothing can stand against that. So if I'm here and if I'm in church today, and if I've had fellowship with my believers, I've had worship, if I'm here today and if I've got something stacked against me, you know what I'm going to be doing? I'm going to be calling upon the name of Jesus. I'm not going to call upon the name of Steve Lee, because that's not going to do anything for you. Hopefully it'll bring you a good memory, but it isn't going to do anything for you. Penny, Daniel, so good to see you back from Panama. Can't wait to hear the report. You look like you're feeling great. Of course, always got a beautiful smile whether you're feeling great or not. And so, love you guys. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, everything stacked against us, We don't understand the picture, but yet it begins to unfold because we just keep calling out upon the name of Jesus. If I've got stuff stacked against me today, I'm going to call upon the name of Jesus. You have this testimony, okay? I know I'm sharing mine, but I know you have this testimony. I can't tell you how many times I just begin to call upon the name of Jesus, and that chaos around me just begin to level out. Certainly in here, many a times, I'll be like, Mary, I'm going to go in the sanctuary for a little bit. Many a times, just call upon the name of Jesus, it starts to level out. Certainly in my office, sure. But can I tell you, just like you, because I know you've done this, I've pulled over on the side of the road. It's just too heavy. Jesus, I'm going to focus on you for a minute. It sounds goofy, but even on the treadmill, that's why I go, because I just get focused in. I just get focused in. So much stuff is happening. I'm Jesus, Jesus. So what I'm trying to say is, no matter where you're at work, on the job, at home, in the kitchen, the front porch, the back porch, wherever you are, and you just feel overwhelmed and you feel heavy, or you feel like, you know, the odds are stacked against you and you just are kind of losing your focus, or you're feeling numb, or maybe it's one of those examples that I gave earlier. You're feeling that way. Can I tell you, that song you sang earlier, it is a very powerful, factual, truthful song. Because there's power in his name. The reason you're here is because the power of his name drew us here. There's power in his name. You don't need another motivational message. You don't need another motivational book today. There's nothing wrong with any of that. You, as God's people, need to focus on the power that is in his name. Because the power that is in his name is what makes the church who she is. It's why we come. It's why we do. It's why we serve. It's why we have Christmas. It's why we have our Love Out Loud Christmas, and we have the angel trees, and we worship and we serve, and we have King's Kitchen and the benevolence and the clothing and the food, and we go into our schools and we go into our workplaces and we have our prayer meetings and our prayer gatherings and our Kawita praise and all the things that we do. It's all because of the powerful name of Jesus Christ. And if I can help get your focus there this morning, before you leave, if you're one of those individuals that I spoke of today, or if you're here and you just want to just worship the powerful name, that's up to you. I say it often, but I've done my part. Now it's between you and the Lord, and that beautiful